Attention. News of the day. Member testing. Bonus evaluation. Be Friday in the socialist classes. Buffalo, New York. The black community fights for their very life against police brutality. Chief spokesperson of the NAACP of Buffalo said, "This morning we are fighting for our lives in Buffalo. The police department has been beating and killing people and getting away with it by the numbers that are incalculable," declares Hayward Lucas, a recent victim of rampant police brutality in the black community here. Across the nation, similar reports have been rendered by the Research for Justice Commission that have seen an increase in police brutality in nearly every city of the nation. Benjamin Silvetti, Deputy Attorney General, has ordered the Justice Department to check FBI informer Gary Thomas. Gary Thomas Rose charged that the FBI covered up his confession to murdering a black while spying on the Alabama Ku Klux Klan. Alabama authorities have been investigating the charge as well as Mr. Rose's possible involvement in the terrorist bombing of a black church in Birmingham, Alabama in the 1960s. Four girls died in that blast who were all classmates of our good friend Angela Davis. The FBI claims that it can find no evidence to back up Mr. Rose's charges. However, this time, the Attorney General of Alabama, where the U.S. Justice Department will not move, is seeking indictment against the FBI agent for the murder involvement of both the young lady from Michigan and in the killing of the four children. Mr. Rowe will be brought under indictment for a possible role in the ambush murder of Viola Liuzzo, a Caucasian from Detroit who was ferrying marchers back and forth during a freedom march. There is some doubt that the likelihood of conviction in the right-wing climate and racist climate of USA in this hour, this day. Nicaragua. Guerrilla activist. The Sandinista Liberation Front, named after a great hero of Nicaragua who was murdered by the state in the early 1930s attempting to bring about a people's revolution, have taken over the parliament building in Nicaragua, the stronghold of Somoza, who's been a dictator for 44 years, backed by U.S. interest. It may bring down the Nicaraguan government. They're asking $10 million and safe passage for 200 of the most outstanding political prisoners in Nicaraguan jails. The complexity of the matter, even though Managua, the capital of Nicaragua, is in a state of siege, is that the son of the dictator Somoza is one of the people being held hostage. Dozens of ministers, parliamentarians, and cabinet officials, including the Minister of Finance and yet another relative of the dictator Somoza, is in the hands of the Sandinista Left Socialist Liberation Front. Costa Rica has suffered a major earthquake that has caused thousands to pour into the sea, into the cities, registering over 7 points on the Richter scale. It has been called a major earthquake. This time, this news that I'm giving, no report of casualties, but a number of lives have been lost and many more tragically injured. Kenya is extending its mourning for its late president, Kenyatta, for 1 month. South Africans Northern Namibia being attacked by Union of South African forces. Zambia has joined in assisting the beleaguered Namibian people against the Union of South Africa. Chairman Wa in Belgrade, Yugoslavia, calls for a coalition of socialist and communist, and particularly the socialist and communist of non-aligned and third world nations. You know China's doctrine of three worlds. First world, USA, USSR. Since the so-called invasion of Czechoslovakia, China has considered USSR the more threatening of the superpowers, or at least that is what is said overtly for political purposes. The second world contains all of the major capitalist nations of Europe. And of course China has been increasingly dividing them from USA. France and England and West Germany have all refused to follow suit when Carter demanded a ban or an embargo on trade. West Germany has been able to succeed in selling the computer that USA refused to sell to the Soviet Union. The third world, of course, in China's mind, includes herself as head of the third world developing nations. Brazil, South America, indicates that they have lost one-third of their coffee crop due to an early frost. This will cause their coffee to have to be brought out of reserve and will up the wholesale price from Brazil, thus causing coffee increased prices in U.S. to perhaps as much as $8 a pound. It is moving from $1.80 to $2.20 because of having to use their stockpile. U.S. is doubling in the selling of gold to try to somewhat balance out the staggering, faltering U.S. dollar. 750,000 ounces of gold will be sold a month, bringing $180 million, which will help the USA hopes, at least, to reduce its trade deficit. International Harvester corporate businessmen in the Soviet Union faces 8 years sentence for currency fraud on the white market. District of Columbia, with the opposition, strong opposition of Senator Stennis, has succeeded in getting a passage that an amendment will be included on every state referendum to give the District of Columbia the right of two senators and one or two members of the House of Representatives. Passage is not considered likely because it requires three-fourths of the states of USA to ratify. U.S.'s most sophisticated spy satellite, weighing some 50 tons, according to the Voice of America, has fallen into the hands of the Soviet Union. Carter is in Idaho, wanting to get away from the humdrum of civilization in a very rugged and dangerous vacation over falls, an area of the United States, one of the few places that they're not overcrowding. What we have every day is such an experience to get away from it all, and we should appreciate this wonderful vacation. And because of our consciousness of the needs of others in the struggle, the impending dangers of genocide against all races and nuclear holocaust that hangs over the world like the sword of Damocles, we should constantly work to make it possible for others to enjoy this great land of plenty and freedom. It has been brought out on the polls, a new poll just recently conducted, that former President Nixon has a 36% rating on the polls, rating him an excellent president, whereas Carter at this present moment has only 25, nearly 26% that are even willing, of the U.S. populace, to call him a good president. NBC said President Nixon was only beaten once by fraud, election fraud in Cook County. Liberals are taking out their hurts and past bitterness against him because he bested the mentor of the liberal force, Rockefeller. They're mad only, said NBC's commentator, because he jailed lefties like Alger Hiss. That's somewhat indicative of the U.S. mood today. West Germany, or should we say neo-fascist Germany, where every tombstone of every Jewish grave bears a swastika mark, becoming more and more repressive, but they seem to be unable or incapable of catching the three most wanted members of the Baader-Meinhof gang. Today, just a few minutes ago, these three were almost apprehended as they landed a helicopter in which they were making a trial run to free more political prisoners. As you know, they've had two successful jailbreaks. They managed to elude the police in their Mercedes-Benz car that was waiting them at the landing strip. Several members of the City Council of Cleveland are being brought under federal indictment for various crimes of corruption. San Francisco's biggest trial, perhaps, is being brought about this week, having to do with the Chinese gang killings that occurred in past months. Ewing Percy Newton, according to Voice of America, leader of the Black Panther Party that has fallen into disrepute and lost its following, is scheduled to go on trial August 21 on assault charges stemming from the pistol whipping, and they don't say alleged, but they say the pistol whipping in 74 of Preston Collins, his tailor. Although Preston Collins has denied that he was ever beaten in the first place, but the police are pursuing it because of the harassment around such a figure. The controversial Radical Panther head, according to the Voice of America, is also scheduled to be tried November 27 on charges of fatally shooting Kathleen Smith in most cruel fashion, said Voice of America. The 17-year-old was slain on Oakland Street a few days before the Collins incident. Municipal Court Judge Bill Kessley has stated that he would, that rather he, to, Municipal Court Judge Bill Kelsey recently dropped assault charges against Mr. Newton and Robert Hurt, his bodyguard, stemming from a barroom fight. However, Mr. Hurd was charged with being an ex-convict in possession of a gun in connection with the May 11 barroom brawl in Seacliff. Mr. Hurd's arraignment is set for August 8th. His bail was lowered from $25,000 to $10,000. Mr. Kelsey, Judge Kelsey, ruled that he could not find enough evidence to bind Mr. Newton or Mr. Hurd over for trial on charges of assault with intent to commit murder and assault with a deadly weapon as a result of the bar fracas. The reason, Kenneth Hall, the so-called victim, and I'm putting so-called, that is not the way it was carried by Mutual Broadcasting, Kenneth Hall, the victim, was a willing participant in this fray and engaged in much of the same type of bad action as everyone else involved. Newton, who returned from Cuba last year, where he had been living, has served 2 years in prison on a 64 conviction of felony assault. However, Judge Kelsey said he could not be considered an ex-felon because his conviction had been nullified on a technicality. Mr. Newton and the Black Panther Party are subjects of an investigation, said NBC in the July 10 issue of New Times Magazine. The report cites the many crimes, said the Mutual Broadcasting Company, not, I would say, without showing their prejudice. The report of the New Times cites the many crimes committed by Mr. Newton since his return to the United States and crimes that were committed by other leaders in the party. Doesn't seem to be much hesitancy there to show their prejudice, does it? Seems that the press continues to follow its role of convicting people without jury. It's hardly what we thought was proper, trial by the press. Grand jury declares Santa Rita prison grossly inadequate. The Alameda County Grand Jury, after touring Santa Rita Rehabilitation Center, or jail, in Pleasanton, have stated that conditions at the county jail are grossly inadequate and have called for the building of a new facility, though it may be caught up in a lot of red tape. Ironically, as the grand jury was recently touring the county jail, an inmate, Nathaniel Jackson, committed suicide and was found hanging in a cell at the jail complex. He was serving a 15-day sentence on drunk driving charges. Past grand juries, prison reform groups, and county supervisors have criticized the outmoded jail as a breeding ground for homosexual rapes and gang fights. In 1972, a federal judge ruled that incarceration at Santa Rita was cruel and unusual punishment and ordered Alameda County to rebuild the Pleasanton Jail. Santa Rita, once considered a model jail, is in such bad shape that even the most enlightened penal administration imaginable could not run it successfully, the county grand jury said. This is a different direction in the rather dependable right-wing mood that we have in USA today. We're grateful for at least these glimmers of light, but you know that the situation in USA remains very, very desperate. Johnny Spain is hopeful of the overturning of the San Quentin 6 conviction. Imprisoned Black Panther Party member Johnny Larry Spain hopefully predicts that his trumped-up 76 murder conviction in the infamous San Quentin 6 case will be overturned. In interview with Belva Davis, who's been noted for her disgusting smear of the Cuban excursion that she took. You also remember her from once being in attendance in our church. She aired the interview over KQED Channel 9 on last July 19. The 29-year-old former Panther member expressed a hope that his conviction, which he appealed to the U.S. Court of Appeals on May 15th, will be reversed. Let us hope that he is proper and correct in his analysis or his expectations. It's a bad time for young men like this. Amnesty International says that U.S. does indeed have tens of thousands of political prisoners, just like Andrew Young, the black ambassador of the United Nations, has declared. The TV Tube Hotel. Work has begun on a 20-story hotel in the city of Kalinin. The top 15 stories will rest on a huge, solid, ferro-concrete structure shaped something like a TV picture tube. The base will house the technical services and also serve as underground shelter for Soviet citizens. A Soviet naval squadron, the cruiser October Revolution, and two destroyers have been on an official friendly visit to the port of Gdynia in Poland. Aboard were Vice Admiral Vladimir Sidorov, commander of the USSR Baltic Fleet, and his staff. To heat an entire city, all the heat and power needs of a town of over 1/3 million people can be met by a single 250 megawatt turbine now being built in Sverdlovsk. Until recently, combined heat and power stations were supplied with 100 MW turbines. Pickaback Met Station, a complete meteorological station weighing only 15 pounds and packing into a knapsack, has been developed for use by small expeditions in the Soviet Union. It measures all the main weather indicators and transmits the results to a central collecting point. One of Moscow's landmarks, the Great Dome of Ivan the Terrible Tower in the Kremlin, is being regilded. The dome is 30 feet across and more than 3,000 square feet that have to be covered with fine gold leaf. But first, the old gilding has to be removed. This highly skilled and very delicate job is being undertaken by a team of art restorers, all communist women. A mechanical smoker. A new type of smoker, a mechanical one, which enables research workers to simulate the effects of different smoking habits and show the consummate damage that is done to the human body, has been built in the Research Institute of Tobacco and Makhotka. The machine permits collection of nicotine, tar, and other substances from the inhaled smoke. It duplicates all the actions of a human smoker, except, of course, said Radio Moscow, getting cancer. Brezhnev and Husak hold useful talks in the Crimea. President Husak of Czechoslovakia took advantage of a holiday in the USSR to meet Leonid Brezhnev in the Crimea this week. Soviet-Czechoslovakian cooperation, they declared, would grow still further following agreements reached during the recent Soviet party and government delegation visit to Prague. Both leaders stressed that the recent Washington-NATO session and other aggressive actions by the Western powers to step up the arms race were aimed entirely at aggravating international tension at pursuant to the nuclear war that China hopes to bring about. They reaffirmed the solidarity of their peoples with the people of Vietnam and Laos, and they underlined the hypocrisy of those sudden champions of human rights in the West whose real aim was to interfere in other countries' internal affairs. President Carter has turned down the appeal of Senator McGovern calling for an international military force to liberate Cambodia or Kampuchea from the nationalist element that have taken over from the Khmer Rouge. Formerly it was thought that Kampuchea or Cambodia was going communist, but a nationalist element has taken control, and reportedly one-third of the population of some 7 million plus have already died of starvation or other forms of deprivation and maltreatment because of their political beliefs. A new town in Siberia will beat the frost. North Baikal, a new town for 40,000 people, is being built on Cape Curly, where the new Baikal-Amur Railway connects with Lake Baikal. The new town is being designed by Leningraders, who found that the Lake Baikal shores reminded them of their native Gulf of Finland. North Baikal will look like parts of Leningrad, with straight streets rising from the lakeside and passing through pine, birch, latch, and larch groves, where terrace blocks of flats are going up in the clearings. All the flats are being built with windows facing the lake, which will also ensure them of maximum sunshine. Because of the permafrost, an earthquake fault zone, and the rocky soil, the houses are specially designed to withstand low temperatures and all earth tremors. They are being built on concrete supports with basement ventilation, helping to prevent the frozen ground on which they stand from thawing. No industry will be allowed in the town, so ensuring that it presents no pollution threat to Lake Baikal. Construction of the water purification system is running well ahead of the housing program, another indication of the high priority that Siberians are giving to environmental protection. Siberia, of course, was a wasteland in the Soviet Union. Now they're turning them into modern cities with all sorts of scientific know-how. And of course, this city, as all Soviet cities presently, contains underground shelters for the potential likelihood of nuclear holocaust. Lithuania amazes visitors from the USA. "We were amazed by the successes of Soviet Lithuania," said Donatas Šatas, a chemist who headed a group of Americans of Lithuanian origin visiting Lithuania at the invitation of its Academy of Sciences and the Society for Cultural Links with compatriots abroad. They had seen how science flourished in this Baltic Republic, the work done in many splendid research laboratories, and the contribution Lithuanian scientists were making in such fields as vibroengineering, semiconductors, and heat exchange. "And all that started from nothing," said Mr. Šatas. "A large amount of hardline drugs have been captured off the coast of the USA coming from Colombia. The Colombian left have long since charged that there's even CIA involvement in the shipment of these hardline drugs. Let us hope that that is not the case. But it has been reported before." Thus finishing the news of the day. I will give you a commentary on the new Iraq. In the Vienna talks on mutual reduction of armed forces and armaments, before I give it, I wanted to mention, in Central Europe, there has recently been a turn for the better, said Nikolai Tarasov, head of the Soviet delegation, speaking at a recent plenary meeting. "A decisive contribution towards ensuring this turn has been made by the socialist states," he added. "In the long range," said Dr. Jimkov, also part of the delegation, "he is not sure that the world will be able to avert nuclear disaster, but all steps must be taken by peace-loving people," said. "Certainly anyone with judgment would know the Soviet Union would not want another war, having lost 22 million of their citizens in World War II. The new Iraq. In the recent history of Iraq, there are two dates of outstanding importance, the anniversaries of which are now being celebrated. On August 14, 1958, the masses overthrew the corrupt feudal monarchy and started building a new state. And 10 years later, on August 17, 1968, the Ba'ath Arab Socialist Renaissance Party took power and opened a new chapter in Iraqi history. Since it embarked on the road of independence and major social and economic reforms, the young republic has scored many successes. The property of foreign companies has been nationalized, and capital been made available for social needs, public health, education, and culture. Such successes in so short a time are largely attributable to the formation of a National Progressive Front, whose efforts have done much to mobilize the people to carry out progressive reforms and resist the machinations of imperialism, Zionism, and capitalist reaction. The present leaders of the country are carrying out a program of social and economic reforms in the interest of the people, says Radio Moscow. The wages of low-paid workers have been raised, and new laws have introduced social insurance, free schooling, and a free or almost free medical service. A law passed in 1970 helped break up the decrepit feudal system, completely change the nature of land relations, and give the Iraqi fellahin a better life. As for industry, the state of Iraq sector now holds a commanding position in the oil, petrochemical, heavy engineering, ore mining, building material, and other key industries, and this sector is being constantly expanded, says Moscow. Besides sweeping away the monarchy, the 1958 revolution also swept away all obstacles in the way of equal and fruitful relations between Iraq and the Soviet Union. In August 1958, the first Soviet ambassador arrived in Baghdad, and in March 1969, the two countries signed their first agreement on economic and technical cooperation. I hope that the bit of lisping will not hinder you hearing the news, because I've not had rest for a couple of days. The rapidly improving life of the Iraqi people is tied up with the country's economic development. The Soviet Union is helping Iraq strengthen its oil, power, transport, and communications industries with irrigation and agriculture.